Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Now, how do you... So for those of you at home who don't know this, Sarah does this gesture thing as she speaks, which is very lovely. Because you are a dancer.
Oh, I was once.
Well, you're always a dancer, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the mafia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Once you've been made,
but
you can't.
How do you decide which gesture goes with, like, I get a...
It's totally subconscious.
Is there like
But I tell you, if I keep my hand still when I'm talking, I can't do it.
You don't, really?
No, I can't do it.
So if I were just like to grab your wrist, you cannot say a word?
Something like that.
Oh, we're not going to test that. Okay, I'm in the audience. And
great audience.
Yes, Patrick Somerville's dad, right?
Yes.
Well, admit it?
I used to be a neurologist, but now I'm known as Patrick Somerville's dad.
Well, you can't use that neurologist thing all you know, your life.
I'm pushing his books all the time. It's a heavy load.
Are you an author follower, you know, like pushing him on stage and for his readings and stuff, and you open the books when they sign them?
He didn't want to be an author, but I forced him to go into this field.
Yeah. How does one do that with a child? Force him to become an author, for example?
Money.
Bribes?
Yeah, he's still taking them, and he's happy.
Now, do you write yourself? Is that where it came from?
I have about 14 diaries that I've started, I get about 8 pages in, and it gets boring, so I just get another book to write in.
Did you ever hear about that guy who recorded everything he did in his life? I don't know how he did anything because he'd run over and have to write it down. I mean, everything, even his, you know, bowel movements, everything in a diary, great. Every move he made.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. It would seem that there is not much of a life.
Well, you know, he certainly thought about his life.
What could he do? He had to be writing every second. So his experience...
That's not like your diaries, though.
No, mine are brief blasts of lousy prose.
Did Janet Maslin ever review one of your diaries?
I have hired someone to deal with her.
You take it personally if your son gets a review that's maybe not so favorable as it could be?
It hurts a lot. Yeah, that one was an arrow in the chest.
Maybe someday you'll be her neurologist.
I doubt it. I'm retired, and it costs way too much to start up again.
Yeah. And your name is?
Steve.
Steve. Very nice to meet you.
Meet you, Michael.
Thank you for joining us. Dr. Steve. Still a doctor, right?
Yeah.
They didn't take that away, did they?
They can't. I'm not doing anything.
All right. It was your dad who was an architect?
Yeah.
He was?
Tell
him. My dad, John, designed Lambeau Field.
He's the architect who designed Lambeau Field. Which is, I think, the best-looking football stadium anywhere. It's uniquely.
It's been... quote, upgraded, unquote, but the original one costs $1 million, and the upgrade costs $288 million. So we're paying an extra 0.5% sales tax in surrounding counties to support Madison Packer fans.
Okay, well, I didn't want to get into that so much, but your dad was quite amazing. Yeah, amazing. Well, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. How do I fix my interferometer? You got some interference with your interferometer? Where is Aaron? Red. With the reds, yeah.
Yes.
Your interferometer.
It's.
Wait a second, I guess I got it. Why don't you come down this way and I'll meet you, because it's going to get technical, I feel. And it's does it need to be adjusted? Is it out of whack?
Out of whack. That's a good description. Yes. So it's a measurement. It's a measurement of the speed of light in a material, and it's just. I work at the university, and we're just having some problems making it work.
Are they a little delicate?
They can be. Yes. Yeah. Very much so. So anyway,
you ever pound on them with your fist? Does that usually works for me and my delicate instruments?
Well, I can't say I've never tried that, but I can say it's not terribly effective at fixing it.
Interferometer?
Interferometer.
Interferometer. And is this your own personal one, or is this the university's or something?
Oh, the university's, yes. So.
Is it a large device?
It's about a tabletop.
A tabletop? Does it have legs and everything?
It does not, but it's...
What's it doing? What's the problem? Let's see if we can work this out.
Oh, it has a lot of electrical noise that's showing up in the...
I got that on my desk up here. Speaking of tabletops, if we could solve this, I think we could easily fix your interferometer.
Easily, that's right, exactly. So
something is hanging underneath it or something, and it shakes.
Yes, but
anything?
Probably something similar. I'm just trying to figure out exactly how to get the problem out of it. It's been on my mind. And so anyway, when people were saying I should write a question, my brain vapor locked, and that's the only thing I could come up with.
Has anyone here worked on interferometers, or know anything about them, or had one time?
In your garage.
Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. Well, maybe someone will call in with some help.
Maybe so. I look forward to that.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Okay. Interferometer people, we know you're out there. I'm going to say that public radio probably has more interferometer people listening than any other medium. So someone out there probably knows what to do with a tricky interferometer. Look at this. A guy from Columbus, Ohio says, "How badly will the Badgers beat the Buckeyes today?" How about that? Michael Halliday. And he's from Columbus. So where is Michael? That's very giving of you. That's very nice of you. Wait a second, and we'll go get your explanation. I'm back, and I got to interrupt the family here. And Isabella is trying to sleep. Why don't you come down here so I don't disturb Isabella? No, come here. Come here. Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't mean to sit down again. How are you?
Hi, fine. Thank you.
And you're from Columbus, Ohio, so you are a Buckeye by birth.
By birth, yes. Only.
Not inclination.
No. My father was born in Canada and lived in Michigan, so I've been a Michigan fan all my life, and that's a well-kept secret in Columbus, too. Yeah. So hopefully none of my friends are listening, or they'll have the rope out when I get back.
Okay. I wouldn't mention Michigan too often around here, but, you know, the thing here about the...
I'm rooting for the Badgers today, yeah, no, hands down, yep.
Just wanted to get that on record. Michael Halliday from Columbus, Ohio, says Badgers over Buckeyes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Just trying to be impartial in this whole thing. You know me. He's from Columbus. You should know. After the show, I have to go a little late to a middle school bake sale baking session at a church. My phone is dead. If I charge it at church, is that stealing?
No. You're doing Lisa, the Lord's work.
Lisa, you worry too much. Where's Lisa? That's very sweet, Lisa, that you would even worry about that. Let me see if I can reassure you or not. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is stealing. Yeah. This is all true. Your phone is dead.
Yes, it's dead. So that was not my phone ringing earlier.
No. Yeah, you have to go to the bake sale. You're working the bake sale.
Yes.
It's a big bake sale?
No.
Small bake sale?
Yes.
And it's where is it?
I go to Madison Christian Community, which is two churches in one building. So I could be stealing from two churches, technically.
Okay. And did you bake something for the bake sale, too, as well?
I brought supplies, and I'm going to go help them do that when I get there, a little late.
So you're volunteering, you're doing all this stuff, and you're a very big part of it and stuff. And do you really feel bad if you actually charged your phone? Do you feel it would be?
Maybe.
Is it a moral dilemma?
I don't know. Maybe. It could be.
She's telling me the truth?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I wish I could help you with this in terms of, I'm not really good with moral dilemmas. I mean, I have them, but I don't really think too hard about them.
Okay.
Are you perhaps making too much of it?
I don't know. It's a small phone, so it's not a smartphone. So it's smarter than me, though.
Okay.
It won't take too long to charge, so maybe it will all balance out, we hope.
We have some outlets up here.
What?
You
can charge it here. It's just public radio that they pay for it.
That's an even bigger moral dilemma than I think.
Another moral dilemma. Oh,
so.
Boy. Do you have, like, a lot of moral dilemmas? I'm just curious.
Yes, I do.
You shouldn't, though. You're such an obviously nice person, good person.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that.
You know, I would like, as a Jew, Okay, well, that's good. See, there's a real problem. That's a problem you got. No. He's a very nice guy. He's got the interferometer, though.
Yes.
I'm worried about that.
I stay away from the interferometer stuff.
Okay. But as a Jewish person, a Judeo-Christian moral background,
we've got that covered.
I would like to grant you dispensation.
Thank you.
My dear, bless you. Bless you. You're fine. For all you do. All right. I don't usually pull that one out of the fire too often, but sometimes you got to. Panic on Twinkies. Anyone go out and buy Twinkies? Yeah, did you panic? Did you really? Look at this. They went out and bought Twinkies because the Hostess is going down, which is unbelievable. But you know what was funny? All right, so Hostess can stop making all their products, their fine products, over these years. And I was looking on Twitter, and the only thing that was trending were ding-dongs. Isn't that odd?
No ho-hos?
Be careful.
What?
Be careful what website you go on with that.
No, this was on Twitter, and they show you what, you know, I understand that problem, too. That's another moral dilemma. Boy, I got one for you there. What about buying ding-dongs? Well, it won't be a problem soon, I guess. Can I get you to stand up there, sir? And I have to sort of walk sideways here. It's not my normal thing. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Did you rush out and buy Twinkie?
I didn't exactly rush out. I was reminded by my wife that Hostess was no longer going to make these. So I thought, boy, maybe I should do it because the end of the world is coming up. I was talking about that with someone at work, and I thought, it's the end of the world, December 21st. We should probably incorporate
From the Mayan thing.
Yes, yes, we should incorporate.
And no Twinkies? Oh my God! Maybe that's like the seventh seal of the apocalypse. Is when you can't find a Twinkie for love or money. It's the end of everything.
And so the grocery store actually had them on sale, and I thought they really blew it because for people like me, I would have paid full price. and just for the novelty. But, you know, they didn't have any real Twinkies left. They had these kind of fake chocolate-filled Twinkies.
We don't like any variations, no.
Everything else was sold out. And they certainly didn't have any ding-dongs. Yeah. No.
Okay, I'll let that pass. There. It's passed. Okay. Is it just Twinkies for you, or is it ding-dongs, is it ho-hos, is it the cupcakes with the squiggle on them? It was always my favorite with the...
Well, I gave them up a long time ago, but I thought maybe I should revisit that.
How many did you get?
3 boxes.
And these kind of don't even like this kind. It will last for 1,000 years, though, so in case the world does survive, you will have...
My wife suggested I should put them in the freezer. I said, why would I do that? They'll last forever, right?
And your name is?
Paul. Mike.
Paul. Hi, Paul. All right, we're going to try another round of the What Do You Know quiz because that's what we do, and I got to walk sideways. Same distance either way, I guess. How are you? Doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
How are you? Yeah, she's a little shy. How are you?
I'm great.
Good to see you.
She wrote that question.
What question was it? Oh, was that you about the Twinkies?
I did the same type of question about panicking about the Twinkies.
Yeah. Did you go out and buy Twinkies?
No, I wasn't panicky. My daughter was, but
yeah.
I'm more of a Little Debbie girl myself.
Debbie! Thank God Little Debbie's still with us, isn't she? Yeah. So I used to see Little Debbie trucks all the time, but I don't see them anymore. I kind of miss Little Debbie. All right, here's another chance for you to play the quiz because you didn't get a chance the first time, and your hand was up almost immediately. I know it's important to you. I can't pass that up. Oh. Hi.
Hi.
And you are?
I'm Amanda.
You're Amanda. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Michael.
Michael, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. And Amanda, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I'll give you two.
Okay, give me two.
I'm a dear widower. And you didn't answer my question.
I didn't.
You didn't answer my question, Kurt.
What was it?
How can you help me to bring my brother Joseph Lawton to Madison for medical school?
Oh, okay. All right, I still won't answer that, but I'll let you play the quiz. How's that? Fair. Amanda. Is your daughter here?
That is my daughter Molly.
Yes. Hi, Molly.
And she hopes her cousins Bella and James come to Madison too.
Excellent. All right. Amanda, so what are you doing these days, Amanda?
I am looking for work.
You are? What are you looking for?
I'm a child and family therapist.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, you just got to find a child or a family, don't you? And
you'd think it'd be easy.
Give them the old what for.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's sort of hard to find a job in this market, even for therapists, when everybody's struggling.
Well, can you hang out a shingle and just say child and family therapist?
I could hang out a shingle, yes.
Yes. I'd go with the shingle.
First, you got to raise the money to rent the place.
Well, shingle just costs you $10, $12.
That's true.
You got to have it engraved or painted or something like that. That'll be another $20 or something. I'd say you could have a shingle for $35.
Yeah, you know, I'll think about that.
Yeah, very good. And then and I got a neurologist, if you want to work with a neurologist, because he's not doing much. You know, he's pushing his kids' books and all that. But so you could have a neurologist and family. You could have a little clinic thing going on there.
Oh, it'd be perfect.
Perfect.
Solve all our problems.
That was easy. Any moral dilemmas you got? Any charging at the church? Or?
Nope.
Nothing? That's cool.
No.
And are we from here, or are we from elsewhere?
I'm originally from Green Bay. I grew up in Patrick Somerville.
Oh, you did? Yeah. I like that. Was he like that then, too?
He's always been brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny guy.
You weren't the model for Lauren in the book, were you?
I don't think so.
Because did you go to school with him?
No, we went to different schools.
Did you do a science project in school with him by chance?
No, but his father and my father were best friends growing up.
How do you like that? Well, that's very cool. All right, Amanda, you know someone out there calls in, plays along with you on the quiz. You know how this works, pretty much?
Yep.
General knowledge, nothing too extreme. And Sarah, what are those categories?
The categories, or do we want the numbers?
What is the number of the categories?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are the numbers on those categories?
Sarah? You've confused me now.
Yes.
If people want to play the quiz.
What is your number, Sarah? Is it
no. 1-800 WA NO is my number.
I notice you're clenching your gesturing hand now.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning. What number do they call when I ask
if
this question?
People would like to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and not dial my number. They're going to dial 1-800-94...
But if they were to dial your number, what would it be, sir?
It's unlisted.
Okay.
1-800-942-5669 or 1-800-WA-NO, 1-800-WACK-NOW.
All right. Well, here's the question anyhow. The percentage of stars... Okay, this is a little hard to phrase. The percentage of stars that will ever be that have already been born as of now. A percentage it is. Within what percentage would you say?
Can we give them a wide margin? Let's say within 10%.
Okay, that's fine with me. So this is a percentage of stars that will ever be... Star production has slowed down way a lot, okay? Very few stars. Lots earlier, like 12 billion years ago, lots of star production. Now, not so much. So I want to know the percentage of stars that will ever... in existence, ever be created, what percentage have already been created?
Okay?
Ballpark figure. Let's go to the phones right now. Matthew's on the line from Stephen City, Virginia. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Pretty good, yourself?
Oh, pretty good. I'm excited that you called. Big fan of you.
Fan. Did we call you?
Yes, sir. Yes,
oh,
sir.
We did. Okay. Do we pick you randomly? I don't know. Or...
So the question is about the stars.
The stars. How many have already been of the percentage that will ever be created? How many have already been?
Wow, that's pretty tough.
Nah, it's easy.
Stars.
Piece of cake.
20%.
Oh, so you think that we have 80% more to go in star production?
Oh, yeah, that don't make sense.
No, that don't make sense.
No, that don't make sense.
No.
I'll go the opposite, 80% then.
Don't have much time left.
What?
Don't have much time left.
Okay. 85? It's 85.
85%.
85% is close enough. Within 95%. Wow. So you're within the 10% margin allotted by law.
Cool.
All right, that's really cool. Yeah. So 95% actually have already been created. So that's kind of disappointing for people who like to watch stars being created. And for the stars themselves, perhaps. Matthew, Amanda?
Hi, Matthew.
Yes, sir. Hi, how you doing?
Amanda, good. Matthew. The two of you are a team right now. You know how this works, Matthew?
Oh, yes. I listen to your show every week.
Okay, then you don't know how it works, really. You know how it works, and you still listen. Two of you are a team.
Yes, sir.
Collaboration.
All right, Matthew, here we go.
And those categories are?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
All right, Matthew, what would you like?
Let's call it science.
Science it is. In order to be fed, the fairy wren babies need to do one of the following. In order to be fed, the fairy wren baby needs to, one, do they need a password? B, a resemblance to one of the parents? Or see a new take on the family song.
Hmm.
What do they need?
Interesting. Interesting. I am a science teacher.
Oh, okay. There you should know this then.
Well, what's your guess?
I would say that the second one seems interesting because they would have to, the mother and father would have to recognize the baby.
Uh-huh.
B sounds good to me.
Uh-huh. I think I agree.
No, I'm sorry. They need a password. Believe it or not, they are taught a little jingle. That is their password
for
the feeding. Yeah, it's kind of cute, but I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Sorry, Matthew.
Yeah, but it was for a cute question. Yeah.
That's a zero right and one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about that.
And the categories that are left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, or odds and ends.
Amanda?
We'll do odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. Did the Belly Button Biodiversity Project find that there was, in fact, biodiversity in the belly button? Actually was this. I forget where it was, but I hope it wasn't at Wisconsin. I'm hoping it wasn't. Looking for bacteria.
I guess they're trying to figure out what in or outies.
Yeah, no, bacteria biodiversity in the belly button.
Somebody funded the study?
Somebody did, yeah. And you should put them on what you're doing, much more important. The Belly Button Biodiversity Project. Was there, in fact, biodiversity in the belly button?
Oh, I would have to say there is an awful lot of lint in those belly buttons.
No, we're talking about bacteria now.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff can grow in belly buttons. And you got to ask yourself, why would they ask this question if it was no? So
they,
I would say
they
yes.
They is me, you know that.
So meaning?
Look at me and say
that. So it's 50-50, Matthew.
So you're saying yes or no?
I would say no. Not a lot of biodiversity.
Says no. He's in science.
He's a scientist. We'll go with it.
No is yes. Yeah, not a lot.
Way to go, Matthew.
There wasn't a lot. It was a waste of time. They found, I'll tell you what they found. They found 2,300 species that could be there, but only 8 that actually were. So that's not biodiversity in my book.
Interesting.
That's one right and one wrong.
Okay, what's left?
And the currents that are the categories rather that are left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school.
Okay, Matthew.
Does my partner have a preference? Or?
Nope. Go ahead.
All of a sudden, she's your partner.
Current events.
Current events. Okay. Texting overall in the United States trending up or down? Total amount of texts.
I thought I read something in the paper about that. I think because of the promotion of this, I think it's gone down during driving. Yes.
Because of the promotion of
people. You know, the advertising is dangerous. You know, like, you know, drinking and driving is not good. I think so.
Drinking and texting is not good.
So recently the trend is going down because of
really not good.
Cutting down on texting while driving.
So you're saying going down, trending down.
Boy, I'd have to consider how many states have that law.
Well, not just that necessarily.
All those people who are moral and...
No, not necessarily.
Boy, it's hard to think that texting is going down, but Matthew, you are 2-for-2 here, so I'll go with Matthew's.
Yes, texting has declined in the third quarter. Down from 696 per capita to 678. So it's not a big decline, but it's significant. It's significant, texting.
That's 2 right and 1 wrong.
Very good.
And the categories that are left are people, places, things you should have learned in school.
Okay, then. Amanda?
Things you should have learned in school.
This could be it here. Is dank good or bad?
Isn't that in the eye of the beholder?
Well, no, this is in the eye of the kid who says it to you. You know, says,
that's dank. Then I'm guessing it's good.
Comes and says, you know, that was really dank.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm hoping you do.
Kids?
Talk it over, Matthew. Dank.
I'm going to say good.
You mean, can you spell that, please?
Yeah, D-ank. D-ank.
D-ank?
D-ank.
Dank. I haven't heard that in a hall, I think.
Matthew, I got
Well, maybe you wouldn't, Matthew. That could be either way.
Yeah. I've been wrong in all the other questions, but I think I'm going to be right on this one, and it's a good thing.
Dank is good. Matthew?
I go, sir.
Yes, dank is a good thing. I don't know why it would be, but when something is dank, it's really happening. Okay, congratulations. You pulled it off. What have they won?
There you go, Matthew. Amanda, you've won a bag of What Do You Novo Roast, our show's signature coffee blend from Herb and the Boys at Denver's famed Novo Coffee, sustainably sourced, family-owned, exemplary coffee. Then enjoy the musical majesty that has entertained since Emperor Maximilian I with a pair of tickets to the Vienna Boys Choir from St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Middleton, Wisconsin. Matthew, your coin collection will really shine with the rare and beautiful Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter, celebrating 25 years of matchless radio comedy from the founding father of Small Talk Radio. And both of you can lighten the mood with Paula Sisk's Rhyme from the Field and Farm, A Little Laughing Will Do You No Harm from Tate Publishing and Enterprises, and keep the good times going playing What Do You Know the Party Game from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Good job, Matthew.
Thanks, Amanda. Good job, Matthew. Hang on, make sure you get that stuff.